Well, the second article to the Apostles' Creed begins, "I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord." And that's what we focus on this morning, Jesus as Lord. It's probably the first and the earliest confession within the church, just simply to say, Jesus is Lord. And we start this morning by looking at this, passage from Colossians chapter 1. The opening line in verse 15 in Colossians 1 says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. The Greek word there is icon. Jesus is the icon of the invisible God. In other words, you want to know what God looks like? Well, you look at Jesus as revealed to us in Scripture. Then you know what God looks like. But in talking about Jesus this way, as the image of the invisible God, Paul is drawing our minds back to Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, we have God creating the heavens and the earth. He makes all things on earth. He fills the earth with beings, with insects and bugs and all these kind of things. And then at the end of creation, he makes man and woman. And male and female, he created them. In the image of God, he created them, in his image. Originally, Adam and Eve carried the image of God. They were stewards and lords and masters on this earth in God's stead. They were the representatives of the Lord on this earth. But then they made that dumb mistake. The thing that we're all going to ask Adam and Eve when we're in heaven is, why did you do that dumb thing? There was one rule: don't eat this fruit. And it was the one thing that they wanted to do. One rule, and they broke it. It's like telling a kid, don't touch that button. What are they going to do? They're going to touch the button. And that's what Adam and Eve did. And as soon as they ate that fruit, as soon as they rebelled, as soon as that disobedience came, something in them changed. The image of God that they carried at least was partially lost. Or you could say it was broken. Or it was corrupted. They still have a place in high in God's created order. They still carry the image of God, and that God made them special, and they have a special place in God's heart, and they still are top of the created order. But they lost a part of that image, the part that was holy, the part that was blameless and without guilt, the part that was unblemished, faultless. That is what they lost, and it was broken and corrupted. Now you skip on a little bit and you get to Genesis chapter 5, and in Genesis chapter 5, Adam and Eve start having children, and we get a genealogy, and it lists the ancestors that came after Adam and Eve. And right away at the beginning of that genealogy, there's an interesting turn of phrase. Adam and Eve have a son named Seth, and Scripture tells us that he was born in the image of Adam, not God. And all the people that came after Adam and Eve not only are image bearers of God, but were image bearers to sinful Adam and Eve. In other words, we carry in us that same blemish, that same corruption, that same impurities that Adam and Eve introduced into this world. We are born in the image of Adam and Eve. Their disobedience, their rebellion became ours. And we get descriptions of this throughout Scripture. And in the New Testament, we often get this. Paul will say You used to be like this, now you're like this. You're right now, you're a baptized person, you're reconciled to God, you're at peace with God, but you used to be, as Colossians says, far from God. You used to be an enemy of God. You used to do evil things before you became reconciled to God. That is the image of Adam, the image of Eve, showing itself in us. The second we come out of the womb, we bear that image of Adam just as much as we bear the image of God. We are born sinful enemies. We are born far from God. We are born enemies of God. And if you've ever had a toddler in your house, you know you are born doing evil deeds and evil things. And as such, we need to be reconciled to God. We need to have peace with God made for us. And so as Paul is talking about Jesus Christ, Jesus the Lord, to the people in Colossae, and as he's writing to this small church, he begins by telling them, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. In other words, there is a new image bearer of God. Where we failed, Jesus doesn't. He is the new image of this invisible God. You want to know what God looks like? You look to Jesus and nowhere else. And he talks about how Jesus is the Lord. And he builds them up and he shows us all the power and the majesty of Jesus. He talks about Jesus as being the head of all creation. We call God the Father, the Creator, but Jesus was there too. In fact, Paul says that it's by him and through him that all things are created. And not only are all things created, but through Jesus, all things are sustained. In other words, God didn't just set creation in motion and then sit back and watch it take place. Christ still sustains it. Then he talks about authorities and powers and rulers, and these are words that the Colossians were using for heavenly beings. And Paul says here, all these things, all these spiritual authorities, whatever they are, they also are created through him and for him. Jesus is Lord of those things too. In fact, Paul will say, the fullness of God, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in Jesus Christ. This is Jesus the Lord. But just as last week, how you can't divide God as being Father from God as being Creator. You just can't talk about one without talking about the other. You can't also talk about the majesty and the beauty of Jesus without also talking about his cross. And so Paul will talk about how Jesus was the head of all creation, the firstborn of it all. All things are created and sustained through him. He also has to say, and it's by the peace of God, We are reconciled to God through this Jesus, through peace that is made by the blood of his cross. All these things, the cross, the creation, Christ's majesty, they are all in one person. And the early church, the best way that they could sum it all together is simply by saying, Jesus is Lord. It's their confession. And Luther, in the large catechism, says the same thing. He basically boils it down to, he says, if you want to know what Jesus is Lord means, or what it means for Jesus to be Lord, it is simply this, that Jesus is our Redeemer. You can't divide the two apart. You can't have Jesus as Lord unless Jesus is your Redeemer, the one who reconciles you to our Heavenly Father. You can't have Jesus as the one who reconciles you unless he is also Jesus the Lord. The two are the same. Think of it like the classic fairy tales of the damsel in distress. You know, it's the classic fairy tale. You have a princess, maybe she's locked away up in a tower, and she's held there by some evil monster or dragon. And in the classic fairy tales, she's rescued by some lordly king and great prince and who's a knight, and he comes and he rescues the princess. This is what Jesus is to us. We're the damsel in distress. And maybe, guys, that's not a thing you want to have, but we are the damsel in distress. Luther will say, before I was reconciled with Christ, I did not have a lord or a king, but I was captive under the devil's power, condemned to death, stuck in sin and blindness. Jesus, the image of the invisible God, came to earth to save those who lost the image of God. And he did so by making peace through his cross, so that he could present us once again to God the Father as holy, blameless, and unblemished. This is what it means for Jesus to be Lord. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for Jesus our Lord, who through all things, or through him, all things were created and continue to have their being. And through him, and only him, is reconciliation made between us and you. We thank you that you would want to be reconciled with us, that you would want there to be peace between your enemies and yourself. We thank you for Jesus. Help us now all to have beautiful feet to bring this message to all those who need to hear it. We pray this in your name. Amen.